Well, 2 weeks ago, we noted how the Apostle Paul exhorted Timothy to do the work of the evangelist. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. And indeed, it is work, especially for one who does not have the gift of the evangelist. But to assist us in this labor, we have the Holy Spirit of God. When you and I trusted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit. We know this because of Ephesians 1, verse 13. God's Spirit empowers us to witness to others. That's what Frank read to us today out of Acts 1, verse 8. We examined many biblical examples of how God's Spirit empowered Jesus, the apostles, his disciples like Stephen, Philip, Paul, Apollos, along with other believers, women believers, Philippians 1, 27 through 30, to preach the Word of God even to the lost. Even though we may not possess the gift of evangelism, we do possess, as Christians, the gift of the Holy Spirit, which empowers us to do the work of the evangelist. God has not commanded us to witness without empowering us to do so. Acts 1:8 says this, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." But along with giving us that tool of the Holy Ghost to perform our task of witnessing, God has also given to us the tool of the Scriptures. This tool is to assist us in our labor in witnessing. You read this morning how when God gave us the ministry of reconciliation, He also gave to us the word of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 and 19. I'm praying and trusting that today's message is going to better equip you, along with encourage you, to do the work of an evangelist. And as we examine today the preachers of the gospel and the power of the gospel. When you witness to others in the power of the Holy Spirit, remembering to use the word of God, we trust that you will be mindful that you are the followers of Jesus and many of those who followed in his footsteps. For example, let's look at the preaching of the gospel. As you and I noted in our very first message, and this is our third and final message in this mini-series, although we're going on to the book of Romans, and you'll think, well, we're still dealing with evangelism, because, in fact, we will be. You know, you have two books that you normally recommend to an unbeliever to read, John and Romans. So our evangelistic series was kicked off with this mini-series, but it will continue as we study the book of Romans. But as we noted in that first message, to preach the gospel is to preach the good news Jesus saves. But I want you to understand, the gospel is more than that. The gospel can include the history of Jesus' birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, and his coming back again. The gospel is all about Jesus and what he has done for you and I. It speaks of his life of obedience. It speaks of his atoning death on the cross, of his resurrection from the dead, as I mentioned, by his ascension into heaven, and then by even his outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the church. This is all about the gospel. So in preaching the gospel, we are to preach about Jesus. We're to preach about how we are brought into a saving relationship with him. The Apostle Paul, he summarizes the most basic ingredients of the gospel message in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So if you'd like to turn there with me this morning, or if you like to just sit and listen, that's fine too. But I'm going to read to you just the basic aspect of the gospel as presented here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Beginning now with verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, what's the gospel? For I delivered unto you, first of all, which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now there's the gospel in a nutshell, as found here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Notice your very first purpose for today's lesson. Purpose. When preaching the gospel, I purpose to focus on the life, the death, the resurrection, ascension, and the coming of Jesus and what he does to save us. That's what you should emphasize if you're preaching the gospel. Now, that's the preaching of the gospel. Let's now focus on the preachers of the gospel. And notice who we begin with. Oh, yes, Jesus. First, his example. For example, listen to these words. Matthew 4, verse 23 says this. Jesus, he went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. That's his example. I'm going to turn, if you'd like to turn there with me too, to Luke chapter 24. I'm going to read another illustration from the life of the Lord, his example. Luke 24, verse 25. This is a familiar passage, but I want you to see what he used in ministry. Jesus is speaking to those two on the road to Emmaus, and here's what he says, verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe. Believe what? Well, all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He preached to them Jesus. That was his example. Listen to his exhortation, Matthew 24, verse 14. Jesus is instructing his disciples as he sits there at the Mount of Olives. Here's what he says. And this gospel of the king shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. So there's his example. There is his exhortation. He was a preacher of the gospel. But watch this. How about Peter and John? I'm reading to you from Acts 8, verse 25. Peter and John were sent from Jerusalem to Samaria to minister. And here's what we read about their ministry. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Yes, Christ, he preached the gospel. Yes, Peter and John preached the gospel. But do something with me now. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 will be just dabbling in something that we're soon to see. But Romans chapter 1, verse 1. We'll expound this next week, but let's just read it for the time being. Romans 1, 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Look at verse 15, the same text. So, as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. So the apostles, Peter, John, Paul, they all preached the gospel. I'm reading from 1 Corinthians 1:17. Just listen now. For Christ sent me not to baptize, Paul says, but to preach the gospel. Not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be of none effect. I want you to turn with me, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul, as he does in the rest of chapter 1 of Corinthians, he goes on to Corinthians chapter 2, and he outlines he did not preach with the wisdom of the world. He preached with the wisdom of God, that is the Scriptures, and with the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember I told you, look, we're like the eagle. And this eagle, as we go out, we have the Holy Spirit, that power. We have the power of the gospel when we go out to bear witness, to do the work of the evangelist. Watch how this comes together. Paul, well, let's start through, and I might read the whole chapter. 1 Corinthians 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. You say, I got to stutter. I can't do it. I don't know what to say. I can't do it. Well, Paul made it very clear. He was not the best of speakers. For I determined not to know anything among you, what? Save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness, in fear, in much trembling. Is he describing you? And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power. Why? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. This is why we see so many who make professions. You look around a year after their profession, and they're nowhere to be found. You know why? Because they were saved in the power of the flesh and not in the power of the Spirit. They made a decision in the flesh and not in the Spirit. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of the world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, ear have not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Remember, Paul came, he didn't preach his wisdom. He preached the wisdom of the Word of God. But it will not take root without the Spirit of God. That's what he says now in verse 10. But God hath revealed unto them, or unto us, by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Paul came not with the wisdom, his wisdom, but with the wisdom of the Word of God. But he also came in the power of the Holy Spirit. This is what made his ministry so effective. But here's the contrast. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Will everyone believe who you bear witness to? I bore witness to two of these contractors out here this past week. And I heard certain things come out of their mouth, but they didn't receive Christ. They didn't trust in him. And I was talking to a lady in California, and I saw a whole different response. I saw a woman break down, weeping in sorrow. And we'll see what happens if there's true repentance there. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That was part of our song we sang this morning. But listen to me, okay? Paul went forth not in his power. He went forth in the power of the Holy Spirit. He went forth in the power of the Word of God. Do not use your words. Use the words of the Holy Scripture. Read passages to them. As best you can, quote to them passages that you know. You know a whole lot more than what you realize. As you tell them what Jesus has done to you, share with them verses of Scripture. That's what the preachers did. All right, listen to me as I read to you 1 Thessalonians 2:4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Listen to Timothy. That was Paul. Listen to Timothy. 1 Thessalonians 3:2. Paul, he's sending Timothy to Thessalonica. Here's what he says. And he sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you, to comfort you concerning your faith. But my fellow laborer, he says, in the gospel of Christ. In Philippians 2:2, he's reminding the church now at Philippi about Timothy's service. And here's what he says. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. Let me give you an example of Apollos. Come with me to Acts 18, if you want to, or you can just listen. Acts 18, verse 24. Here's the testimony of Apollos. What did he use when witnessing? He used the gospel. What should you and I use? The gospel. We need to talk about the birth, the life, the death, the resurrection, the ascension, the coming again of Jesus Christ, and what he did for us in saving us. We read here in verse 24 of Acts 18. And a certain Jew named Apollos, he was born in Alexandria. He was an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures. He came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. There's yet some things he doesn't know about. He doesn't know about this baptism of the Spirit, okay? And he had begun to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him into them, and they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Listen to me now. Never get to a place where you think you know all you can know about the Word of God. There's always somebody who knows something that you don't know, all right, about the Word of God. You can always be learning. And when he was disposed to pass to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, he helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. That's what he preached. Jesus is the Messiah. That's the message. You say, yes, but man, we're talking about apostles. What about us common folk? What about us women? Surely we don't. This is the man's job to be out there evangelizing. That's not the woman's place. Well, let me show you something. Philippians chapter 4. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Reading now from the 4th chapter. He says in verse 2. Philippians 4 verse 2, he says this. Now I plead, Herodias. Now this is a woman's name. And I beseech Syntyche, another woman's name. And if you're not certain of that, just keep reading with me. That they be of the same mind in the Lord. How do we have peace? You got to be of the same mind. If you had a fight with your mate this week, or you had a fight with your kids, I'm going to tell you why. You didn't have the same mind. Now it's not about, I got to have the mind of my husband. Oh, no, no, I need to have the mind of my wife. I need to have the mind of my parents. I need to have the mind of my children. No, the mind you need to have is the mind of Jesus Christ. And it's only to the degree that you have the mind of Christ in your home do you have peace in your home. I pleaded with Herodias. I pleaded with Sintichi that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. Let's read that phrase again. I'm wanting you to help them. I want them to be the same mind, but they're going to need some help. They're going to need some counseling. Help those women which labored with me in the gospel, along with Clement also, and with the other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. I'm going to tell you, listen, evangelism is not just for men. Evangelism is for all of us. Why? Because we've got the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we've got the power of the Word, as we'll note here in just a moment. But look at your purpose before we move on. You know what? I purpose to follow the examples of Jesus, Peter, John, Paul, Timothy, Apollos, yes, and the women who preach the gospel unto the Lord or unto the lost. All right. Let's move on to our third point. How about the power of the gospel? Let's go back to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. The gospel, it has the power to save a lost soul from going to hell. Reading Romans 1, verse 15, and then we're going on to verse 16. Paul says, so as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. Why? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. God does not send us out powerless, my friends. We've got the Holy Spirit. We have the Word of God. We have power in witnessing. Listen as I read to you 1 Corinthians 4, verse 15. Paul is saying to the church at Corinth, he says this, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. What's begotten mean? To be born again. To have life. He says, I gave you life. How? Through the gospel. The gospel can save if one but believes it. But that means they got to hear it. They got to hear it to believe it. How do we know that? Well, I'm trampling all over Romans, aren't I? But let's go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Let's pick up our reading with verse 13. He says, for whosoever, Jews, Gentiles, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Wait a minute. Question. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Question. How shall they believe in him in whom they've not heard? Well, people can't believe if they don't hear. Well, who are they going to hear from? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, that gospel that I received, I've given to you. The gospel that you received, you need to give it to another. How shall they believe in him whom they've not heard? Well, how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As is it written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Listen, the gospel is enough to save, but one has to hear it to believe it. Here it's referred to as the gospel of peace. It's referred to as glad tidings. Well, the glad tidings was, hey, that both Jews and Gentiles, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the good news. Because there is power in the gospel to save, Does that mean everyone will be saved? No. What did we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 2? The word has got to be mixed with what? The Spirit. Look what we read here. Look at verse 16. How does it start? But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Not everybody will believe. As powerful as the word is, it takes the Spirit of God quickening, making alive that individual to whom you're witnessing. You go in the power of the Spirit. You go in the power of the Word. But you're praying that the Spirit of God will quicken that one, will make that one alive, will give that one understanding. This lady I was witnessing to in California, she was a professing Catholic. And she had not the understanding. But God, as I was speaking the Word, she was weeping. She was, I see, I understand. I see, I understand. And I called on her to leave the Catholic Church because she was seeing demons. She was being influenced by demons. She perceived demons in her house. Things getting knocked over. There's no other rhyme or reason. She became so fearful that she was out on disability. She was paralyzed with fear. Fright. And I began to explain to her, hold on, wait a minute. What's going on in your life? This is God drawing you. The way God saves us is by His Spirit, by His Word. But hold on, what else did we say? And by circumstances in your life. God will use demonic possession to draw you to Himself. And I began to turn that whole thing around, which she was taking negative, to say, wait a minute, hold on. The Bible teaches us in Job that Satan can't touch us. He can't touch our possessions unless God permits him. The old evil one is on a chain, and he can only go as far as God lets him. Then he touches him personally, but he can't kill him. He can only go as far as God permits. I said, think about all of the healings that God, Jesus, performed. Many of them were upon those individuals who were demonically possessed. And I began giving her illustrations. Why were they possessed with demons? Because He was using them to draw these individuals to Himself. And I explained to her the primary way she'd open herself up to demons: pride and lust. Pride and lust. You say, I know somebody's having trouble with demons. I'll tell you why. Because of their pride, because of their lust. Now, how in the world do I know that? Because I know the cure. I've studied James chapter 4. I studied 1 Peter chapter 5. I know what happens. When you and I do not humble ourselves, we open ourselves up to demonic forces. Remember, he's getting ready to summarize there in James 4, and he says, okay, therefore, he says, submit yourself to God and resist the devil, and he will what? Flee from you. And he's writing to the unregenerate. No, at that point, he was writing to Christians. The primary way that you and I open ourselves up to demonic influences is by an unsubmissive spirit. And the reason why we have an unsubmissive spirit is because of pride and lust. And oh, surprise, surprise. Do you know what this woman told me she was full of? What have I said is right up here? And I taught this to our Sunday school this morning. Oh, yeah, here's pride. Here's lust. And what's right up here from which all our sins shoot up? A spirit of anger. She said, I'm full of anger. Why? You know, the Bible says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give room or place for who? The devil. You and I don't realize how much we open ourselves up to satanic attacks. We make fun of it. Oh, the devil with his tail and horns. The devil's real. And he's out there to seek whom he can what? Devour. Well, how do you resist him? You resist him in the faith. But I asked her, I said, well, you know what her homework is? I left the homework as this. This week, I want you to write down all the ways, all the different ways that you're unsubmissive to God that you know of. Then she said to me, well, listen, I'm not going to have to leave my Catholic church, am I? That's when I read to her out of Thessalonians about the doctrines of devils, demons. And what are those doctrines? Well, you can't marry. And, oh, you can't eat meat on Friday. And I said, no, what church do you know forbids marriage and still in many countries forbids eating of meats? Now, not so much in the United States. That was changed. It's a Catholic church. She's opened herself up to demonic influences by going to Catholic church. Now, listen to me, okay? Please understand. We're not all influenced the same by satanic aspects. And here's the reason why. We're not all as sensitive to sin. Some of us can quench our sin. All right? We can quench it. Here's a woman who's very sensitive to sin. And it's affecting her mentally. So her assignment is to write down all the areas that she's unsubmissive. But here's the homework I gave her. You find a good Bible preaching church for the next time we call. That's next Wednesday. And I told a Sunday school, to the degree that she obeys me and does that will be the degree that she will be free from this demonic influence. Because if she doesn't submit and obey, why? Well, it's because of her pride, and it's because of her lust, as evidenced by her anger. If she doesn't do what I ask her, I guarantee you she'll be right in the same state as she was the moment I called her. You say, I've got some demons in my own life. Well, the thing you do is you take a piece of paper, you write down areas that you're being unsubmissive to God. And then you begin to work on those areas. Because the degree that you are submissive to God is the degree that you're free from demonic influence in your life. An unsubmissive spirit opens up demonic influence in your life and in my life. Submit to God and resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. All right, how do we get on that? Well, that's a little PS for this message, okay? But listen now, as I read to you concerning the power of the gospel, okay? We said that not everybody's going to believe. There's not going to, but let me tell you, John 6:63 says this, it's the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh it profiteth nothing. The words that I speak to you, man, they are spirit and they are life. It's God's spirit. It's God's holy scriptures that give life to the spiritual dead person that you and I are witnessing to. Come with me quickly to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Excuse me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians 1. I want to read verse 5. Ready? 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 5 says this. For our gospel It came not unto you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Ghost, in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. When Paul came to preach at Thessalonica, he came with the word of God. He came with the Spirit of God. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. How? With joy of the Holy Ghost. Not only did Paul come with the power of the Holy Ghost, but the Holy Ghost was there working in these people. So that you're examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Wait a minute. They received the word, and you know what they did then began to do? Preach. Oh, and I'm not talking just preachers. I'm not talking just men and women. I'm talking about the church at Thessalonica. For from you, verse 8, sounded out the word of the Lord. That's the power. Not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God's word is spread abroad. So we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering we had unto you. How that you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. How do you think I'm going to know if God, the Holy Spirit, has done a work in this woman's life? How do you know he's done a work in your life? How you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom ye raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Go over with me now to 2 Thessalonians. That's not a big chore. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. Paul preached with the Spirit. He preached with the Scriptures. And that's what you and I are to preach. Why? Because there's power. Power. Wonder-working power. 2 Thessalonians 2, look at verse 13. Oh, Paul writes to the Thessalonians again, we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, yes, there's the Spirit, and belief of the truth. Here's the thing that you and I can know when we witness. Everybody who God has chosen from the beginning by the Spirit and by the Word will be saved. Not one left behind. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, therefore, brethren, stand fast. Hold the tradition which you've been taught, talking about the Scriptures, whether by word or by this epistle. And that's what we need to do. Salvation comes to all who are chosen and are saved by the Spirit and saved by the Scriptures. I want to leave you with these two thoughts. Hopefully it will take away all your fretting, all your fearing concerning witnessing to the lost. Hopefully it will give you a newfound boldness in witnessing. What are those two thoughts? Take a look at them. One, your calling of God is to witness, knowing he has empowered you by giving you the Holy Spirit and giving you the Holy Scriptures. Second one, those God has chosen, he will save by his Spirit and by his Scriptures. You have no fear in witnessing to anyone and everyone because you know this. If God's chosen them from before the foundation of the world, he will use the words that you share with them, God's words, the Holy Scriptures, and by his Spirit, he will quicken them unto eternal life. All right, last motivating factor for you today is found in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, now it's true that he's addressing the apostles, the 12 disciples, verse 1. But I want to share something with you. Yes, he tells them that they're going out and they're going to be persecuted, not only by the Pharisees, but also by the civil courts too. Religious courts, they'll suffer. And by the way, we've got a young lady, of course, I don't know what, she's a Roman Catholic, now had enough trusting that she'll come to know Christ and him only. But I want you to look at verse 19. Oh, but when they deliver you up, take no thought of how or what you shall speak, for it's given you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. He talks about how brother's going to turn about brother and father against child, and you're going to have the persecution within the family, all right? And he says in verse 26, first, fear them not. And there's three of them right here. Watch. Fear them not, therefore, for there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed. He says, okay, you're to go out there and reveal this stuff. That which is hidden, I want it to be known. What I tell you in darkness, I want you to speak. Lights. What you hear in the ear, I want you to preach that on the housetops. Another, fear not. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather, he says, the one you want to fear is him that can destroy both soul and body in hell. He's talking about fear of God. He talks about how he's take care of them. Are there not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. He says, don't you fear. Man, I'm taking care of you. Nothing can happen to you unless I deem it. Third, fear not. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are more valuable than many sparrows. But here's why I brought you this passage. Whoso therefore, summation, therefore, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I've come to send peace on the earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man against variance against his father, and daughter against her mother, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loses his life for my sake shall find it. And then he talks in those last verses about how God rewards us. Now here's the point I'm making. There are two emotions that motivate you and I to obey God's word. You haven't only heard me say it 1,000 times. There is love and fear. First one he mentions here is fear. Don't fear men. Fear God. Man, love God. Love him more than you would love even your family members. There's times when God calls on us to even have to separate from our family members. And lots of times, we don't have to worry about separating from them because they separate themselves from us. All we got to do is what? Obey. Final purpose as we close today. Because God has equipped me with His Holy Spirit, with His Holy Scriptures, I purpose not to fear man, but to fear God and confess Him before others. I should put the other phrase in there, fear God and love God, and therefore confess Him before others. Well, trust that this mini-series has encouraged you to bear more witness to more people. If it hasn't helped you, I know one person that has helped. So, and I told you why I initially preached this thing. It was not even for you people. It was for me. Now and then I had to preach it myself. And I thank God for the opportunities that have been given to me. But listen, take courage. Let's not be fearful. We got the Holy Spirit. We've got the Word of God. Let's go knowing God's going out and prepared that heart. I don't care how mean they are, how ugly they are. I know this. If God's working in that person's life, they're going to be saved. I know that. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the opportunities you do give to us to share the word. I'm praying that, Lord, you'll just continue to give me opportunities. I'm so thankful for just how you've brought so much joy into my life and being able to share the word. I pray that you would bless this congregation with the same joy that I've been experiencing as you give them opportunities just to hand out a tract, just to say a good word about our Lord, about his birth, about his life, about his death, his resurrection, ascension, the Lord is coming again, about what he has done for us and can do for them if they will but believe. We just want to thank you and praise you for this mini-series. I pray, Lord, as we continue our study through the book of Romans, that you are going to even better equip us in ministering in the life of the lost and the saved. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.